Yeah. Presence, you said, Lord, in Psalm 16, your presence, there is fullness of joy. Lord, your word says in Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Lord, I thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, as we worship and praise your name, you give us your presence, your joy, your strength, the power to overcome all the forces, Satan and darkness. We thank you, Lord, you've given us weapons to fight in this battle. Worship you today. Thank you today. That's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. We want to welcome everyone, Fire and Grace Church, this morning. We welcome those joining us by Facebook, YouTube, Blog Talk Radio, however else we're out there, our website. Man, a lot going on. As usual, it just seems to happen that way. The Lord just kept pressing on me something other than I planned. So we're going to go with that today because somebody needs to hear that. Whether here today or hear this, somebody here today or somebody out there listening, because the Lord just kept pressing on me the issue of forgiveness. So I've entitled this today, Freeing Your Prisoner. Freeing your prisoner. That's what we don't like to think about. As we're going to see, many of you are familiar with the passage in Matthew 18 about forgiveness and unforgiveness. And Jesus, we'll get to it in a second, but he just makes it real clear that if he forgives us, he expects us to forgive others that hurt us and do us wrong, or if those who offend us. And he says if we don't, he says that we are putting them, in the picture he gives, we are putting them in a prison. And a prison is a place of darkness, it's a place that's uncomfortable, it's a place of torment. And I know this because I'm experiencing this right now from some people who I know have unforgiveness toward me, and there's nothing I can do about it. When somebody has unforgiveness towards you, there's nothing really you can do about it. I mean, if you've gone to them and you've apologized and tried to work it out and all of that, and they just simply won't forgive you, there's nothing really you can do except pray for them. But it's problematic. It's painful to the person who won't be forgiven, because you know what it does? Unforgiveness does, and it always, this is the main thing Satan has when you in store and plan for you when you have unforgiveness. It's to wreck a relationship. That's what it's about. Really, almost all relationships are destroyed because of unforgiveness. Not every time, but usually. So let's look at this morning. Look at the go to Matthew chapter 18 and read this together. And I'll say this as we're turning there too. After being in the ministry now for 31 years, I've learned a few things, and one of the things I've learned by observation is that Christians also, and I'm talking about Christians, have a very, very hard time admitting when they have unforgiveness towards someone. It is really one of the biggest areas. Oh, no, no, no. Oh, no, not me. I love everybody. I'm good. I'm fine. And here's the thing. Besides the denial that we live in, when we have offense and bitterness and unforgiveness towards someone, I mean, besides that, we really, you know, and this is the dangerous thing, sometimes it really can hide from us. There's been times that I didn't really think that I had unforgiveness and offense, a wound, a hurt, bitterness towards somebody. But, you know, it's one of the good reasons you go to church. Because I went to a church service, and the pastor started talking about that. And when the pastor started talking about that, the Holy Spirit said, that's you. And he told me who it was. You have unforgiveness toward this person. Now, when the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, you don't get to tell him, no, I don't think so. No, I think you're wrong, Lord. No, I had to admit it. And the Lord began to show me how that unforgiveness I had toward that person was damaging the relationship I had with them and people around me, because it was making me mean. It was making me ill and ornery, as we say here in the South. Well, you wonder why you walk around and you're ill and ornery and unforgiving. And remember this, I'll say this too. Almost, and I'm prefacing this because it's not every single situation, but most marriages that end in divorce, it's because of offense and unforgiveness on one or both parties, and Jesus talked about it, the hardening of the heart. Because listen, in church, whether it's in church, whether it's in a marriage, whether it's between parents and children, and whether it's in the workplace, people are going to do things and say things that hurt and offend us no matter what. There's no escaping this. Jesus said offenses will come. He didn't say they might come. He said they will come. And so you have to know how to deal with them, and you have to be honest with yourself. And listen, this when I'm talking about dealing with forgiveness, this doesn't, I'm not trying to diminish or delegitimize when you've really been hurt or wounded by somebody. When you've been, you know, betrayed or done wrong or lied about, or, you know, somebody got you fired over something you didn't do. I mean, you get wronged in this world. You know, a husband cheats on a wife cheats on a husband. I mean, there are things that people do to hurt one another. And let me also say this about forgiveness. Forgiving somebody doesn't mean you have to hang out with them. We have to forgive people that we don't need to hang out with anymore. I tell people all the time, I use this example, and this may be extreme, but it's true. A woman that's been raped, for instance, she's a Christian, she has to work through that and truly forgive the rapist. But that doesn't mean she needs to have a relationship with the rapist and hang out with the rapist. The rapist needs to go to jail, right? You get what I'm saying? Not always about that, but you got to deal with it. And in your heart, you got to free that person. Let's read this, and then who knows where we're going. This is Matthew 18. We're going to start reading. Oh, let's just start reading at verse 6 first. I'm going to read two little chunks of this because Jesus talked about offense. Verse 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Now let's go down to verse 15. He says here, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. And if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word shall be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, then let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Now let's go on down in verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times. And Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord, notice it says his Lord, so we're talking about Christians here. His Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him all the debt. Now, if we had any question whether we're dealing with a Christian here, this is somebody who fell down, humbled themselves, worshipped the Lord, said, Lord, forgive me my debt, please. And it says the Lord here had compassion on that servant and forgave him all of his debt. Everything was forgiven. You know, and let me say, we're going to put these up here in a minute, but those three snapshots I gave you about the definition of forgiveness or forgive in the Greek, one part of it that I saw this morning that I don't guess I ever saw, but it means to leave behind. Isn't it interesting? It really does mean to leave behind completely what was done. You know you haven't forgiven somebody of something when it keeps coming back up. All right, you didn't leave it behind. You didn't leave it in the past. It keeps coming back up. All right? So anyway, that's free. We'll get to that in a second. But he goes on, he says, so what I want to point out here is, and this too, it destroys the idea that you're once saved, always saved, no matter how you live. Unforgiveness is not only serious because it damages your relationships and can get in between you and your relationship with God, but literally, it can put you in a dangerous position. I'm going to show you. So this servant, he's forgiven. The Lord forgives him everything, this massive debt, because the Lord had compassion on him. But let's keep reading, verse 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, much smaller debt. And he laid hands on him, and he took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Now, let me ask you a question. How does anybody pay a debt in prison? If they're in jail, how can they work? They certainly can't even go to the bank, right? So what this servant did, he put this other person in an impossible situation. Remember me saying a minute ago? The person who is the recipient of unforgiveness, who is not being forgiven, is thrown into prison. There's not really anything they can do. Let's keep reading. Of course, the Lord heard about this, and he wasn't happy. Verse 31, so when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord, the Lord Jesus, God Almighty, was angry, wroth, full of wrath. Wait a minute now. He's full of wrath towards someone he forgave their whole debt. I thought we were once saved, always saved, and the wrath of God wouldn't come to us. Oh, no, no, no. Not what Jesus taught. That's what man teaches. That's what denominations teach. But that's not what Jesus taught. So he says here, the Lord said he was angry. It says he was angry. He says in verse 32, then his Lord, after that he called him, said, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespass. Boy, this is pretty serious. Say, well, this is a parable, Pastor Dean. Yet Jesus said, so likewise, this in like manner, will my heavenly Father, this is how he's going to handle this. So you may have walked with Jesus. You may have had all your sins forgiven. Isn't that the wonderful good news? That Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead to make the way for us, that if we just humble ourselves and say, I'm a sinner, I have sinned against heaven, I have sinned against other people, God, I need your forgiveness. Will you forgive me this horrible debt of sin? Because the wages of sin is death. I deserve death. I deserve to go to hell. I deserve eternal damnation. That's the true heart that's humble that says, you know what, Lord, I understand that my sins, no matter how much I say, if I sinned worse than that person, or I'm not as bad as that person, it doesn't matter. My sins that I committed, the sins are the wages of sin is death. So I deserve death, eternal death and destruction. And death is not annihilation, by the way. It's just separation from the one who is life, God Almighty, the Creator. So you say, Lord, I come to you. I remember I did it when I was 11 years old, and then I did it again when I was 19 years old. Lord, forgive me. I've done horrible, horrible things. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against others. I've hurt people with my choices, with my, you know, my lustful and evil desires. And you know what's so amazing is God has compassion. He's merciful. He's kind. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants to forgive us and wash it away. And so that's what happened to the servant. All his sin, all his debt, everything he owed, washed away. But then he went and fell asleep. Somebody he worked with, obviously. Somebody he knew. Somebody he knew well enough, he loaned him money. And boy, let me tell you, where a man's treasure is, that's where his heart is, right? You want to find out something about people, all you got to find out is about their wallet and how they deal with money, all right? Lend him some money. And he says, listen to this. You think about this. This guy just was terrified. This guy just fell on his knees and said, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for this, please. He even offered, I'll pay it all back. The Lord said, no. You know what? It's all right. I'm going to forgive it. It's all washed away. I'm going to leave it behind. And then he goes out and he takes brother or sister by the throat. By the throat. Pay me what you. And if that wasn't enough, the guy asked for mercy. He asked for patience. Hey, just be patient. Nope, not going to be patient either. Threw him in prison. Do you have any prisoners today? Think about it. Who's hurt you in you? Who deceived you? Who's lied about you? Who's done you wrong? Who maybe stole from you? When he talks about being in torment, being delivered to the torment, that's pretty serious stuff right there. I remember my pastor years ago, he used to say it all the time. He'd say, I don't know what those tormentors are, but I don't want any of them. I'm going to tell you what they are. They're demons. We want to talk about torment. Listen, unforgiveness. Right now, I could name situations where marriages and relationships are being destroyed because people truly won't forgive. And these are Christians, won't forgive from the heart and are still hanging on to stuff that happened 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. I got told in a text that I'm still something that happened 20 years ago that really I had no power over, but this person perceives as me doing them wrong. They're still holding that against me. And it's a petty thing, but you know what it's doing? It's destroying our relationship. And I can't fix it. And you know what else it's doing? It's hindering them in their spiritual, physical, and emotional life, and it's hindering them from hearing God and perceiving God and doing the will of God for their life. And listen, husbands and wives, we're the worst about with each other, and we're supposed to be loving each other. But listen, I don't care if you're married 1 year or you've been married 10 years or you've been married 15 or 30 years. I don't care how long you've been married. You are going to say things that hurt the other person. You're going to do things that hurt the other person. They're going to do things and say things that hurt you. And if you don't know how to forgive from the heart, you may live together, but it's going to be cold as ice. and you're going to drift apart, and eventually a divorce is going to happen. Resentment. You say, well, Pastor Dean, I've had women, especially women love to hold on to things. And you know what? Many times, men, we're guilty. We did hurt them. We did do something wrong. We did say something wrong. We did do it. But they hang on to it with a death grip. And they just won't forget. And I'm just using, it could be either side, but I'm just saying, husband can come and say, you know, I'm sorry. I realize what I said or what I did or what I didn't do. Hurt you. I'm sorry. I've got problems. I'm not perfect. I blew it. Please forgive me. And then the wife, oh, I forgive you. And then a few days later, when there's an argument, here it comes. And believe me, I'm somebody that's had to work through this myself. Everybody knows, in here, I'm pretty sure, that my first wife decided to leave without grounds for divorce. While I was pastoring a church, destroyed everything. Destroyed it. Can I just tell you that I had a legitimate offense? I won't even go into all the details, but it got ugly. And I, listen, let me tell you, one of the first steps you want to get free from offense, hurt, bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, one of the things, you want to know the first thing, you got to admit you have it. I would tell the Lord, I hate her. I hope she died. She deserves what she gets. And then I would say, Lord, I know it's wrong. I know it's wrong. Please help me. Woo, boy. But I can tell you, and I can honestly, and this happened a long, long time ago. But I can tell you right now, I kept seeking God and saying, Lord, forgive her. And I would pray for her. And I would pray that the Lord would bless her and heal her when she needed it and deliverance when she needed it. And I would pray for her good when I didn't want to pray for her good. You know that bless those that curse you? Do good, pray for them. Sometimes you have to just keep working that thing until it changes inside of you. But I can stand here and I can tell you that I have no hatred or bitterness or unforgiveness or resentment toward her. And if she was dying in a hospital bed tomorrow, I'd be there to pray that God would heal her and have mercy on her. Help her. And I have prayed for her and ministered to her. And Nancy and I both. And what's beautiful is she forgave me. You know, I wasn't a perfect husband. I didn't cheat on her, and I didn't beat on her, and I didn't go out drinking with the boys. But I still wasn't a perfect husband. I knew that I said things and did things that hurt her and wounded her too. All I know is we're in big trouble if we don't deal with it. I mean, there's been people who've been sexually abused as a child or a young person, even by priests, by pastors, by family members, or physically abused as a child or a teenager, or just verbally abused, told that it's just worthless, never amounted. And those are legitimate wounds. They are painful. They stay for a lifetime. And the damage sometimes stays for a life. But we still have to forgive those who did those horrible things. That doesn't mean they might, hey, some of them are going to get justice in this world and the next. But we shouldn't desire them to go to heaven. Though some of them will. Think about all this stuff. We were going through a website the other night. The list, and this was just, and I'm not picking on this denomination because we know the Catholic Church has an epidemic of sexual abuse of children. But this was a list of Baptist pastors across the country that have molested children in churches. And yes, there it had listed them by state, some here in Alabama. There was recently a lawyer convicted here in this town, in Lee County, in this town, in a church in this town, who molested a child in a church fellowship at somebody's home while people were around. And it happened in 2003. And the young lady finally spoke up. Now thank God the guy went to prison. But this is the kind of stuff that's going on. And on a side note, listen, I'm going to tell you something right now. Are you parents in here and you listening to me? You better be careful. You better be careful who you let your children go off with, be alone with, even in a group. Think about that. They're having a fellowship, a church fellowship at somebody's home, like a cookout. But see, this is the kind of stuff that is going on. This world is getting worse and worse and worse. But really, this, listen, we've been dealing with an epidemic of rape, child molestation, sexual morality. We are dealing with an epidemic. I mean, how many people are dealing with unforgiveness because their best friend or a deacon or an elder or a pastor cheated, you know, lured their wives into an affair? I mean, Bill Hybels, Willow Creek just went down. The head of the Baptist just went down. Another Baptist guy up in some church, where was it? Can't remember. Finally, the girl he when he was a youth pastor, a girl he raped while he was a youth pastor, finally came out with it. And he had to resign. But this is the kind of stuff that's going on. And you know what I'm realizing? I'm realizing more people have been affected by these things over the years because people usually just keep quiet about it. But people are hurt. Legitimate. I'm going to tell you, there's probably not a worse thing that can happen to a person that affects them spiritually, mentally, emotionally than being raped or being molested as a kid. That hurt has to be dealt with. Now, thank God, you know, there is healing and deliverance. Jesus came to heal the broken heart. But burying it doesn't deal with it, and certainly not dealing with the unforgiveness toward the perpetrator. Say, Pastor Ding, how do you do this? Well, let me just tell you, it's real simple. And I'm not going to go on and on about that because I get this question quite frequently. But how do you forgive someone if you really have been hurt, wounded? And listen, hurts and wounds turn into anger. Then they turn into this deep resentment and bitterness. So how do I deal with it? Well, the first step, I said it a minute ago, the first step is you have to just admit that it's there. So how do I know if it's there? Well, let me tell you this. If when the thought of that person that's hurt you or offended you or wounded you in some way, when that thought of that person comes up and you start having these emotions and feelings and anger or anxiety or desire for revenge, I can pretty well tell you not gone yet. See, the subject of my ex-wife can come up. I have no bad feelings for her. None. Honest. I look at her as just another person to love and pray for and try to help. I didn't feel that way when it all began, when it was fresh. But I first had to admit, you know what? I have unforgiveness. I have bitterness. I have resentment. I have a desire for it. God, forgive me. Forgive me. I'll tell you, here's another one. Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sin of unforgiveness. Oh, we don't want to talk about that, do we? Because we feel it's justified. It's still sin. I might be justified punching somebody in the mouth, but it's sin. Right? So, Lord, forgive me. So first you acknowledge it. Then you ask for forgiveness for your unforgiveness. And then, as I said a minute ago, you got to start praying for that, for their good, for the Lord to bless them, for the Lord to work in their life, for the Lord to forgive. Remember, Jesus on the cross, what did he say? To the ones who were crucifying him, he said about them, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stephen is being stoned in Acts 7. Lord, don't let this sin be laid to their charge. I don't know how you say that unless you've truly forgiven from the heart. Let me tell you something, too. Somebody's betrayed you or lied about you or stolen from you or deceived you or whatever. I can tell you this right now. I have seen when you forgive, when you leave it behind, when you let it go, the Lord begins to deal. And when the Lord deals with it, guess what? You know it's going to be dealt with right. And then if you see the Lord, them repent and come out of it and get blessed, if you still have feelings like, don't really care for that. I was hoping for a little more wrath. Still work needs to be done. I promise you this. If you tell the truth about it, if you admit you have it, and begin to confront it and deal with it, and sometimes you need to go to that person and say, you know what? You did this. You hurt me. And I've been holding this against you. I need you to know that. I need to let this. Sometimes you need to discuss it with them. If it's possible. Sometimes it's. But I just think about it. I think about some of the stupid things. Destroying relationships. And I mean stupid. Stupid stuff. 20-year-old stuff. Let's put those definitions up. I want you to see the definition of forgiveness. I took this right out of Matthew 18. This is the Greek word. Aphiomi or whatever. I guess that's how you pronounce it. Aphiomi. But notice what it says here. It says to send away, to bid, going away, depart. I mean, get this. A husband divorcing his wife. Now, what is this saying? This is how you should be with unforgiveness towards somebody. You should completely divorce yourself from it. Completely separate yourself. Completely leave it. This is the picture it's giving. To let go. Remember I said a minute ago? To let go. You know, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, and you can just write this down. You can just leave this up. But this, it's Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. He says these words, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. We cannot live in the past. Past hurts, past wounds, past failures. Some of us won't forgive ourselves for the mistakes and failures of our past. And we live in guilt and self-punishment. And we'll never live in peace and joy. Let me give you a news flash. There is not any, not one perfect person ever that's not sinned terribly or failed terribly. So what do? Keep wallowing in it, in the guilt? Keep beating yourself? I mean, that's what Catholics do. That's the penance thing. We beat ourselves. No. Let it go. Let it go. Let it alone. Let it be. Divorce it. But Pastor Dean, they spread lies about me all over town. Pastor Dean, they got me fired from my job, and it caused me to be homeless or lose my car or whatever. Pastor Dean, it destroyed my marriage. Pastor Dean. Well, how long you want to live there? How long you want to live in that? How's it working for you? Not working too good. Do you know what it brings? It brings depression. It brings anger. It brings strife. It really only pours gas. You know what? If you keep unforgiveness, it only pours it out there and makes it more liable to happen with other people around. Because you're just wallowing in this poison, in this vine. Let's look at this. He keeps it going here. It says to give up. Keep no longer. To give up a person, a thing, or to a person. To leave. Look, notice how many times it says to leave. Let's go to the next one here. You see, it's that word's actually translated leave 52 times in the King James. Forgive 47 times. Forsake 6 times. Let 8 times. Let alone 6 times. So what do you think he's trying to say? Pretty clear. Leave it. Let go of it. Walk away from it. Divorce it. But. No, there's no but. I think of the beautiful story, and I hope you don't mind me telling it. The beautiful story of Marlene's father. Beautiful story. Now, it was horrible, and I won't go into all the details, but he left. He left them. He abandoned them. He left for another woman. He was in a false religion for years. And all Marlene wanted was a relationship with her father. And he was terrible. To the point, I remember Paul saying, you know what? I don't even want him to call because he just makes things worse. If he does try to call, or it was just bad. But you know what was beautiful? Marlene knew. I got to work on this. I cannot hold bitterness and unforgiveness and resentment toward him no matter what he's done. And not too long ago, just last year, wasn't it? Comes up, he's got cancer. Not looking good. He wanted to see his children. And because Marlene had forgiven him and wasn't holding it against him, she had the opportunity to talk to him about Jesus. And the man left the Mormon and the lie. And he called her. He asked, forgive me. He admitted, I did wrong. I was wrong. Please forgive me. And she got to see him, got to be with him. He got to see his grandchildren. She let him out of the prison. But only because, you know what? That's why you got to be, as a Christian, we have to be absolutely tenacious about the Word of God. Not, you know what? She didn't feel like forgiving him. I don't blame her. There's people I don't feel like forgiving either. But you know what the Word of God says? Forgive from your heart. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who despitefully use you. Do good so you don't feel it. But if you start doing, you just got, Lord, this is what you said to do. Your word says to do it. So I'm going to do it even if I don't feel like it. And that's what happens when we believe the word of God, when we speak the word of God, when we put the word of God into practice, when we stay tenacious about it and diligent about it, we will see the word of God work in that situation. And that goes for anything. It doesn't matter what truth it is in Scripture. We've got to stick to the word no matter what we feel, no matter what the world says, no matter what many other Christians and churches say. We've got to stick to what the word of God says. Believe it in our hearts, speak it with our mouth, and put it into practice. I don't care if they call me a fool. I am a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you? And I'll tell you right now, you're going to have plenty more. Let's say Pastor Dean is one. I've forgiven everybody. I'm good. Well, guess what? You're going to have another opportunity coming up here pretty soon. Because it never ends. It never ends. The devil will always send somebody to do something, and he usually waits until they've gained your trust. And you think they're a friend. Remember Judas? Friend. Remember Jesus? Friend. Do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? In fact, somebody that can't betray you unless they've gained your trust. Something. Marriages. Listen to me, married people. One of the biggest problems, both men and women, is we fall into the trap of thinking that husband or that wife is supposed to meet all our needs and fulfill all our emotional, spiritual, and just make me happy and joyful. And even as Christians, too many times, we've really put our spouse in the place that God's supposed to have. He's our source of joy and peace and contentment and satisfaction. And the big problem is we don't spend time with Him. We don't get in His presence. Then we're not being satisfied. And then we start looking to our spouse, and they're not satisfied. And then all of a sudden, we're just dissatisfied with everything. Well, you know, you did this when we went to my mother. Here she goes. Okay. I don't even remember that, but if you say so, okay. Yeah. I can tell you, my wife and I sometimes, we go at it, don't we? With the best of them. She's a type A leader personality, and so am I. Can you imagine that in the same house? Sometimes. Now, I will say this. Even though she's a type A leader personality, she's the hardest working person I've ever seen, not a lazy bone in her body. She is a submissive wife. She does respect my authority. Now, she pushes for her way sometimes and thinks her way is the best way. And really, if the Lord had given her a weak man, she'd run right over him. But the Lord didn't give her a weak man. That's my way, mate. I don't care if you think your way's better. But what I'm getting at is this. You know what? Sometimes he ticks me. And sometimes I know I tick her off. But I can tell you this, you know why we have a good marriage? The number one reason we have a good marriage. It's because we both are quick to forgive. God had to teach me that lesson before he brought us together and taught her that. Her former husband cheated on her. He caught him. Became a meth head and cheated on her. I had to forgive. You know, people change. My ex changed. Her ex is. Now, you know what? I think had we been mean and bitter and angry toward them, I mean, we've actually had the opportunity to minister to them because we forgive. I mean, we could sit down and have dinner with all of them. No problem. So it'd be weird, but still no problem. Who in here remembers? Anybody remember Fire by Night? Anybody remember those videos? The Willie George Youth Ministry. Anyway, I never forget the skit they did. They did the skit from Kung Fu. Take the pebble from. It's all about forgive. Yeah. I learned to forgive. Think about it. Mark 11 says this. Talks about faith. Right? Everybody knows. Have faith in God. And then he says this, right after he talks about prayer and receiving and the mountains moving, we want answered prayer. He says, you better forgive from your heart. In the prayer, the Lord taught his disciples to pray. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive. Pretty important. But Pastor Denny, what if they punch me in the mouth? Well, I've had that. I didn't hit him back. Now, the flesh side of Pastor, what? I knew the word. You don't do it. Oh, I've been assaulted for preaching the gospel 3 times. How many of you have been assaulted for preaching the gospel? Oh, it's time. You didn't stir, you hadn't preached yet then. You got to preach until you know, old street preachers told me, said, you know when you preach in the gospel because you either get stones or you get souls, and sometimes you get both. Preach the gospel. Well, anyway, I'm going to quit. Forgive. It is possible. It really is possible. So what? Well, Pastor, what if they keep doing it? You'll have to forgive them. Doesn't mean you have to be okay with what they're doing. Some people need to change and stop doing it. You still have to. I've seen some amazing forgiveness. I've seen marriages that were, it looked like no hope. No hope. They were calling for the U-Hauls to pack up and move. I'm not even talking about certain people in this room. I mean, I've counseled. You think about the counseling I've done in 31 years? But I saw a husband and wife that hated each other, went through with a divorce, or divorced for a year, forgive each other, and come back together. Because I married, remarried. I've seen people that's had their family member murdered by someone, and forgive. Kind of tough. But it can be done. Listen, if God tells us to do it, then it can be done. The question is, do we have the amount of want to? He doesn't always make it easy, right? I think of Job. All that hit him, and then his wife walks up and says, why don't you just curse God and die? her. She was quite a joy. Not exactly helping him at that moment. But he had to forgive her. And obviously, they did. Let's pray. Let's think. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I come to you today and I thank you that you are compassionate, merciful, that your love toward us is great, that you long to forgive our sins. You just want us to be humble, confess them, be willing to forsake them and live a different way. And Lord, you've spelled out in your word, God, that holding unforgiveness toward others is sin. It's destructive. It can bring the entire debt you have forgiven back on. It can bring the torment. Lord, I ask you, Lord, for everyone here, those watching and listening that have been wounded, hurt, betrayed, done wrong, lied about, whatever it may be. You give them, Lord, right now, the grace to begin the process of forgiveness from the heart to those that have wronged. So their prayers won't be hindered. So they won't be delivered to the tormentors. So they won't end up separated from you forever. Lord, help us be true Christians that love our enemies and forgive them who come against us. Lord, I know we all fall short of it. So, Lord, we pray for your grace, help. All right. I hope y'all learned something today. I hope you've been blessed today. Yeah. Why don't we do that? Y'all want to worship one more? Y'all in a hurry. This is a good song. Good choice. Let's worship with this. We'll be this.
Healing in your glory, healing in your glory, healing in your glory, healing in your glory. So Lord, send your
Kept coming. I don't know if it's for somebody in here or somebody out there that's been watching, listening, or maybe somebody who will. But the Lord wanted me to say there's somebody that's been listening today that you've gone to church most of your life. You would consider yourself a believer. You would say that you were a Christian, and you probably try to, you know, live a pretty decent life, and you're convinced you are. But the Lord wanted me to say, I know it's somebody, that you've never truly been born again. And there's more people like that than we realize. They're churchgoers, they're Christians in their head, they were raised that way. They think, well, I said a prayer one time. But they've never been born again. Being born again is a supernatural experience with God. The great John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, said his heart was strangely warm. The Bible says in Romans 8 that when you are born from above, the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. It's not in your head, it's in here. It's a fire. It's the presence. It's the peace. It's the love. It is an encounter with the Holy Spirit resurrecting your dead human spirit that's separated from God. And just bringing it to life. And let me tell you something. You cannot be born again and not know it. But you can be a churchgoer. You can sing in the choir. You can be baptized in water. You can try to be a good boy or a good girl and not be born again. And Jesus said you must be born again. Remember, on the road to Emmaus, they said, did not our hearts burn? Christianity is a supernatural encounter and experience with the living God, with the Savior himself. It is not just head knowledge. I tell people all the time, it's one thing to say, I know about George Washington. It's another thing to say, I know George Washington. There's a difference. Many, many people in the church. And listen, George Barna, I remember I have the book from 1996, Barna Research Group, back then said that 50% of people, half of people that sat in Protestant churches on Sunday mornings in America were not born again. When they questioned them and they pinned them down about it, they found out that half. This is a sad state of affairs. Say, well, Pastor Dean, wait a minute. What if I've never felt the presence of God, the witness of the Holy Spirit, the peace, the fire, the power of God come in my life? I would tell you, it's time to seek God until you have that witness, until your heart burns, until you know the Spirit of God has come in you and resurrected your dead spirit and made it alive. Regeneration. Being born again is the most important thing. Jesus said, you will not see the kingdom of God if you are not born again. And you know, anybody seen a natural birth, it's a pretty dramatic event. Well, being born again, it's not, you know what? Lift your hand up, nobody will see. Every head bowed, every eye closed, play this little prayer, and it's it. No. That might do it for some people. But see, I can tell you the moment I was born. And it wasn't in a Pentecostal church. I was in a Baptist church, and the power of God hit me so hard. If I'd have said any of that stuff, they'd have run me out the door because they thought I was Pentecostal, because of what was happening. Because the glory of God was all over me. Tears running down my face. There was a glory cloud around me. I couldn't even see through it. It was like a fog. At 11 years old, I didn't know what that was. But later on, I start reading the Bible. I find out the presence is the manifestation of the presence of God. No one after that could convince. I had people in high school and college try to tell me that God, there was no such thing as God. The Bible wasn't true. Jesus was just a myth, all this stuff. I'm like, you're too late, man. You're too late. I already met him. I already encountered his power. I may not be living for him, but I met him. And I'm going to tell you what, he saved me then. I've fallen away, but he saved me then. So I want to say, I know the Lord kept on, because even before worship and then after, it's like somebody thinks they're saved. Make sure that you know you are born again by the Spirit of God. Not just what you know, it's what you have. I'm going to quit. God bless y'all. Y'all know the rule here. You got to hug some necks before you leave. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Make sure Facebook didn't take my video down.